Hello, everybody. Welcome to the apocalypse. No, that's ominous. Let's take two. Welcome to the current situation we find ourselves in, and that is you are listening to an episode of Interbrews, slightly altered because, and I mean slightly altered as in the way we do it, not your consciousness, which, you know, knowing my audience, that's probably true, too. If you want to help support this show, Patreon is still an option. As little as a dollar an episode, I do thank those who have been able to continue support throughout this. It is much appreciated and utilized, and my heart goes out to all of you. And if you can't, if you find yourself in a situation similar to myself where your income has been reduced or eliminated completely, then please keep your money, but enjoy, and hopefully this will uplift you. So patreon.com/innerbrews or innerbrews.com/patreon if that is an option you would like to use. Now, on to the show.
The following is a presentation of Stewed Productions.
That's where you go.
Hey, this is Caleb from Bagfish Brewing.
This is Interbrews.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
I'm so glad you were able to fit me into your schedule today.
I'm so glad you put me in your schedule.
How have you been?
You know what? I've been better, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm making it.
Yeah. What? So you're at the brewery today.
I am.
What are y'all doing right now? I mean,
right now we're kegging up our Boogie Down Brown.
Mm. Go on. Tell me more about that. Tell me more about Boogie Down Brown.
Boogie Down Brown. It's a brown ale that we released about a month or so back. I had done a couple of test batches with a brown ale. Mm-hmm. And our regulars and stuff loved it, and they killed it every time I put it on. So we did a big batch of it, so we wouldn't be running out all the time. And right now we're kegging it up.
Nice. Brown ales are a comforting beer.
You know? They are. Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah, it's one of those. I don't know if it's like English roots or whatever. Is it like a traditional English brown ale, or is it a little Americanized, or how did you approach it?
No, it's an English kind of style. I think it's more of a, like, if you want to really put it in a box, like a brown porter, almost.
Mm-hmm.
An English brown porter. Yeah.
That sounds good. So the situation as it is today, to get that beer will require a pickup. And so, how can people get this delicious brown ale?
You can either like call the brewery. We have, our bartenders are taking calls and they're filling orders. And, you can, if you call ahead, you can get it already, everything filled up. And when you show up, just, come in and they'll have your beer ready for you. Or you can, just show up. We've been doing, you can taste some stuff if you haven't ever had it before. And we have we're filling bombers, crowlers, and growlers.
Mm.
There's options. There's different size options for everything.
What's your favorite?
You know what? Right now, I'm kind of digging on this new wit that we've just released called Witness Protection. Mm-hmm. It's like it's an American style wit beer.
Oh.
We put grains of paradise and lemon peel in it.
Nice.
And then I fermented it with the Kvik yeast.
Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's nice. It's citrusy and it's easy drinking. It's that a 5%er.
Mm.
And yeah, man, I could drink that all day.
What's the difference in like an American wit versus say like a white IPA? Is it?
Well, I guess a white IPA. I haven't had a white IPA in a long time.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that it's probably, being as called an IPA, it'd probably be hoppy, where this one's just, it's less hop forward. Mm-hmm. And it's more, leaning on those spices.
Mm. What happened to the white IPA?
It died a beautiful death.
Well, we are near Easter. Do you think it should be resurrected?
You know what? Some styles just, maybe visit it here and there. But I never – that one wasn't a really popular style. Yeah. So
it came out around – do you need to grab that number? or grab that phone call that's happening?
Oh, no. Chris is
good. You got people for that? How's Chris doing?
He's doing okay with the circumstances.
Yeah.
Okay. Try to leave him alone.
Yeah. So, the white IPA, was it, I'm trying to think like the origins. I remember, Cascadian dark IPAs or black IPAs were kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I think beer people just automatically are like, you know what? What's that? Let's do the opposite. Let's do the other end of that spectrum. And I think the white IPA was that. The black IPA was kind of short-lived as well as something everybody was doing.
But you still see black IPA poking its head up here and there.
That's true. So maybe the white IPA was like those moths in London with the soot, and they just changed. I don't know.
Personally, I don't really care for like Belgian type yeast flavors and hops. To me, they clash.
Okay. So like a Belgian IPA, you're not your jam.
No, not my jam.
Okay. No, I can see. Now, Belgian yeast though, there's not all Belgian yeast are created equal, right?
No, I mean there's different ones that get like more prominent flavor than others, but overall, anything with like a yeast like character like that, Belgian yeast is very flavor driven, and I just don't think it meshes well with hops. But that's my personal opinion.
Right. No, I see. I mean, and that's probably, I trust your palate and your judgment. You're a wizard, and so that to me that would probably be something in my subconscious that. I might, be picking up. It seems like if we haven't seen the white IPA, then that's probably a consensus, or at least an unspoken consensus, or you know what I'm saying.
If people were buying them, brewers would make them.
That truer words have never been said. True words. There are no truer words. There are as true, but no truer. Speaking of things that are at the forefront of people's minds, Tiger King. I haven't seen the entirety of this wonderful show, but I've seen the first two episodes, and probably on these next few days of hiatus from work, I will probably finish that one up. You guys did a couple of beers inspired by this work of art.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they were inspired by it, but definitely it was an inspiration.
Okay.
But. Yeah, we're trying to have fun right now. People need a good laugh.
Yeah. Did it just happen that was the outfit you were wearing to work? I'm going to use the picture of you in your tiger outfit for the post. Oh, just fair warning.
Good. But I'm spreading that all over.
it literally, people type LOL all the time. I think people throw it around too much. That literally lulled me.
Oh, good.
It was awesome. So, Tiger saw man.
Yes.
Man saw tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more details about these beers.
So, it was the base beer was a sweet stout. Mm-hmm. And so we're experimenting with different flavors and stuff. So I took a batch of our sweet stout and blended it into two batches, and then we were sitting around trying to figure out like what we wanted to flavor them with, and we have the Tiger Saw Man, which was peanut butter goes so well in stouts.
Mm-hmm.
I love peanut butter in stouts, so we went with peanut butter and chocolate for that one, which really. I that was my favorite of the two. And unfortunately, they're both gone now.
How long did they last?
Let's see. I think I came, yesterday when I came in, they were gone. So they didn't last over the weekend.
Mm.
So we went through, 30 gallons in just a few days. And that was all to-go orders, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. Now, do you think, it seems that, people are you know, obviously it's people that are close enough to get to you, you know, physically.
Yes.
And there are some places doing delivery. Are you guys on Hop Drop?
You know, we're not.
Okay.
There Nothing are, I know.
Okay. All right. There are some breweries. You know, there's some ways to get things delivered. I don't know how that works. I need to talk to somebody who knows more about that, because the Brewers Associate, or the Brewers Guild, Texas Brewers Guild, is working and trying to get breweries to be able to deliver.
Yeah.
I don't know where that stands.
As far as I know, we're not allowed to.
Yeah, it's kind of a gray area right now, because bars and restaurants can deliver alcohol.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, if you delivered like a box of frozen Totino's pizza rolls with the beers, if that would get you in the under the technicality, you know?
I mean, yeah, there's I guess possibility. I don't know the, like I said, I don't know the legalities of it. I just make the beer.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. I wonder about that. But anyway,
I would be nice. Another way to get our beer into our customers' hands.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
But it seems as though, I mean, you're saying that people are coming by and grabbing these beers and stuff. So it seems though that, I don't know, like that. It's not, obviously, it's not the business that you want to run. You want people there collectively hanging out. The social aspect of it is, I think one thing I'm seeing through all of this, and I'm sure everybody else is seeing, is how important it is to be around people, you know?
Yeah, no, it's weird.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when you're doing it and you're like, man, I just need some time to myself. But that lasts, if we're honest with ourselves, that lasts about, I don't know, a couple hours, maybe a day, if you count sleep and everything else involved. And then you start to get a little lonely.
True.
I mean, I'm sure there's exceptions to that rule. But I know for me, I want to be around people, you know? I just want to, and it's like, and not to sound too creepy, it's going to sound a little creepy, but like touching people, like on the shoulder, or giving somebody a hug or a handshake or high five, I miss it. You know,
yeah.
Caleb, if you were here right now, I'd be struggling not to just to grab you with both arms and just hug you.
Just reach across the table.
Yeah. Oh, I would come around the table.
Oh, nice.
But I don't know. There's that. But I wonder, you know, this is the way conversations of now, this is how they go. Like, I can't believe we're in this situation. We have a little bit of distraction talk, and then we're back to what's it going to look like on the backside. So I don't know. How do you think all the beer to go, people are getting used to it and that sort of thing, like swinging through and grabbing some beers from the brewery. I don't see how that can't be an ongoing thing, you know, from here on out. What do you think?
You know, people have built it into their daily lives now to go and you know, pick up beer at the brewery and take it to the house. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that's something that's, I'm hoping, that's one of the things I hope that kind of sticks with people after all this is over.
Yeah.
I mean, I want people here for sure. I mean, we have this big tap room and nobody in it. It's kind of depressing.
It is. It is. I mean, even when we do, you know, a podcast recording there in the tap room, and it's just, you know, it's early. It's like this time of day. We're recording at 10:30,
yeah.
On a, what is today? Tuesday. If I can figure out
what is it Tuesday?
It is Tuesday. Have you been working like a pretty much a regular, shift? Is it been?
You know, I actually have. Before all this happened, we were really like, we were on a roll. We were doing really good. We had a lot of steam built up, mm-hmm. and this kind of just chopped our legs out from underneath us. And actually, this is kind of giving me a chance to catch up.
Yeah. Just out on
beer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just you were before just trying to keep up with demand, and now you're able to get on top of that.
I'm getting on top of it and hopefully get ahead of it. So whenever all this is over, we can hit the road full speed and get back to where we were.
Yeah. Well, you know, last time we visited, I guess it was, well, I guess on for Interbrews, it was, I don't know what, when was that? What month are we in? Was it this year? Or was it late last year? I don't remember.
You know what? I think it was either the first of this year or late last year.
Yeah. It may have been earlier this year. It might've been like right at the, you may have been one of the first interviews of the year, but man, I don't know. It doesn't matter. You can go back and listen to it. And it's really going to be interesting. So I was talking to John Holler, and he was talking about how this really is like a recording of history. like as it's going, right? So we don't know day to day where this thing is going, what the next development will be. You know, are they going to shut down everything for a few days at some point?
You don't know. You can't know.
Right. And so we're just kind of doing this as we go. And, you know, I don't know that historians will go back and listen to the swath of podcast, but if somebody's right, you know, if Ronnie Crocker's great-great-grandson decides to write a new book on Houston beer in the year 2150, these files will be ones he needs to research for sure. So I'm looking at the list. I'm kind of all over the place, but I'm looking at the list from Friday that was posted for Backfish Brewing Beer to Go. Huh? So you were saying that I Saw Tiger and Tiger Saw Man are gone. Are there any others on this list that are gone, and are there any new ones? So I'll read the list. So Highest of Fives.
Oh yeah, we got
and Guava.
Actually, you know what? I can tell you right now. I got the updated. I'm sure it's on our Facebook. Okay. We update this daily just in case, but if anything goes. But yeah, we've got the Highest of Five Blonde. And then we've also got the variants. We got the Guava Blonde and our White Chocolate Blonde.
So tell me about White Chocolate Blonde.
All right. So it's our Blondale that we age on white chocolate. It gives it like it's almost a stouty type flavor. Mm. It's interesting. It's people that like dark beers tend to like they really like that.
Okay. How long do you age it on the chocolate?
Oh, it's only a few days. It's kind of like a concentrate type situation, and we just dose the keg.
Okay, and so it doesn't head retention's not an issue, obviously, or you know.
No.
Okay, because you know. Everyone
loves head.
That's true. Any way you say it, because if you don't have your head. I want to try that. Like I see so many beers I want to try, and at some point I'm just going to have to get out of the house. I get a little fearful of getting out of the house.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll fill you up a crowler. Mm-hmm. I'll disinfect it, and then I'll mail it to you.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Cheap sunglasses. I see you've got cheap sunglasses by the case, right?
We have six packs of cans of cheap sunglasses. But as far as our hoppy beers go, we've got cheap sunglasses, which is our it's a strong pale ale. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that hop profile of being like more juicy than bitter. It's got some mosaic and some citra and El Dorado in it. And then also we've brought back a classic Backfish beer, Circle Hook IPA. Mm. That one's more of a West Coast style.
Good.
You know, Cascade, Simcoe type situation. And it's more of a West Coast style. And then we've also got our double IPA, Defying Gravity, which is 8.5%, 85 IBU. And it's more of a West Coast style double IPA.
And it's good. I mean, Cheap Sunglasses is great too, but that Defying Gravity, that's one, that's where my wife and I's beer circles overlap for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's delicious. What about Tirana Seahorse Rex?
That's a barley wine that we put out. It's a really like 11%, it's 94 IBUs. It's that one that'll get you feeling pretty good pretty fast. And we like to play with the names around here, so Tirana Seahorse Rex did it pretty well.
Yeah. Now the line of Swim Shady your seltzers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take a moment. This is Josh from Interbrews with taking a moment to endorse Backfish Brewing and Caleb Wilson's Swim Shady line of seltzers there at Backfish Brewing. The finest seltzers I've ever tried, have ever put in my mouth. Clean, full of flavor, crisp, bubbly, all the things you want from a seltzer without a hint of any sort of, I don't know, I've had, when I've tried a few, there's like this hint of like, there's like this, like almost like they used an artificial sweetener or something in it. I don't know what was going on there. There's a thing. Somehow you've cracked the code and you've made the cleanest and most flavorful of these seltzers that are just dangerously drinkable.
They are. It took us a little while of trying different flavorings to come across the one that, and the mix that we wanted, because we didn't want it to taste artificial. Mm-hmm. We didn't want it to taste, you know, like a diet, you know, something. We wanted to taste as much like the fruit flavor as possible without, you know, being overly sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the mojito lime, mm-hmm. or lime mojito, sorry. Limes come first. It's dangerously drinkable. Like you would enjoy it all day, you know, with on the beach or out in the backyard.
Whenever you were here, did you try the natural, the unflavored?
I'm not sure. I think so. Maybe.
Yeah, that one right there. I come in, I'm dragging a little bit. Maybe I drank a little bit too much the night before. Mm-hmm. And a pint of that puts me right back to where I need to be.
What's the ABV on that?
They're 4.75. They're just a hair under 5%.
Okay, so sessionable.
Yeah, we kept it that way so it would be 100 calories or less and less than 2 carbs per serving.
Okay. It's interesting. I need to talk to somebody. Maybe I can find somebody that knows more about nutrition and things like that than I do. But there's something about alcohol is an energy source. I mean, you see like race cars that run on alcohol. I don't know, like when you're mowing the yard, you're doing, you know, work, intense labor. I'm sure if you're in the brew house during the summer,
mm-hmm.
or in the next, you know, couple weeks when it gets to be, it's already pretty warm, I'm sure, when you're brewing.
Yeah, it's starting to get that way.
Yeah, and muggy. A little bit of alcohol, I don't know, I guess it doesn't help. You still need to stay hydrated with all the sweating, but there's an energy kick that you get from, like, right away.
Whenever on brew days, towards the end, like whenever I'm just about ready to get knockout and chill the wort down to send to the fermenter, mm-hmm. I'll pop in the tap room and I'll get a beer. Because I've got a ton more cleaning to do, mm-hmm. and that kind of, you know, it raises your spirits.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look classically at like what was going on back in the day, especially in like places like Germany, like on their lunch breaks and stuff, the workers, and this was manual labor for the most part everywhere, they would go, they would have a beer, like a Hefeweizen or something along those lines. Not a barley wine, like, you know, that you want to sip and contemplate and, you know, look into your soul and decide, you know, where your life needs improving or where it's great, but something light just to push you through the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So there's something to that.
Or at least to the next beer.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's a reason I think that beer is the drink of the working man or the working woman, the working human. I don't know if dogs working ones anyway. Like one of those Iditarod dogs, a husky. I don't know. Do they ever have beers at the end of the run? There's something to that. Like even back in the day, that's when they were building the pyramids. The workers were paid in beer.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, because it has energy and pushes you along. So today's National Beer Day, Caleb. I don't know if you knew that.
You know what? I just found that out earlier.
Yeah, it's because it was today in 1933. April 7th, 1933, that beer became legal after Prohibition, which started in 1920.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Prohibition ended later, but beer at only 3.2%. So like Oaky style beer, but
Mormon beer.
Yeah. Yes. Mormon beer. It became legal, on this day in 1933. So today is National Beer Day. So have you ever brewed something as low as 3.2?
You know what I have? I made every now and then I'll pop on a mild here,
yeah,
on our nitro tap, and I'll hear a couple of complaints like, the beer tastes good, needs more alcohol in it, you know. But, you know, people dig it. It's interesting to change it up.
No, yeah, I love milds because it's full of flavor and it's not just like I don't know. You think low ABV beers and like a Berliner Weisse or something. Tart or light, But a mild is, you know, there's a lightness to it, but there's a lot of flavor. It's like toasted bread or something.
There's a lot going on in that beer. It's, and it's a fun one to make.
Yeah. Is it a pretty quick turnaround?
Yeah, because of the low alcohol, it is, yeah.
Like fermentation, like a 4 day. I mean, there's still processes beyond just the production of alcohol. And
I mean, I'm still I'm fermenting that with English ale yeast. So it, I mean, it's got to go through, you know, the fermentation, the diacetyl rest, and everything. And I can turn that in 10 days.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Milds are good. I'm a fan of milds. I'm not just lukewarm on milds. I am all the way. I'm hot for milds.
If you like a lot of alcohol in beer, you might be mild on it.
Right, you'd be mild on the mild.
Yeah.
Could you add like a hot pepper to a mild? I don't know that that would work. I think almost like the English sensibility wouldn't allow for like a, but.
You can add a hot pepper to anything.
Yeah. Do you have much experience brewing with the chilies? I only ask because. As the whole home confinement marches forward today or tomorrow, we've had our yeast starter going for sourdough starter going tomorrow. We bake.
Oh,
hopefully, or we at least get started. I don't know the whole process. I'm going to have to, it may be longer, maybe like a all day process or a 2 day process or something as far as letting it rest and stuff. But, we're also starting to grow our own veggies. So I'm growing hot peppers.
Oh, wow. You're just becoming very self sustainable.
Yeah, I need some chickens and maybe a hog or something out there in my backyard. I don't know if HOA is going to allow it, but we'll find out. But
don't let them peek over the fence.
Right. What experience with hot peppers? What
No, I've played with habaneros mostly.
Mm-hmm.
I've done actually a habanero orange peel Berliner Weiss before. Yeah. That was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Recently I did a Doppelbock with habaneros.
Really?
Yeah, that was an interesting beer. It was actually one of our mug club. We have a mug club here. Mm-hmm. And with part of that deal is you get to actually pick a beer that I brew. This one of the guys wanted a Doppelbock with habanero peppers in it. Mm. And so, yeah, we did that. It was an interesting beer. It was, it bit you. You know,
so Doppelbock or double bock, right? This is kind of that time, spring, you know, Easter time is kind of Doppelbock season, right?
Yeah, I think any winter months probably. You know what? There's no time that's not Doppelbock season.
Yeah, but I want to say like traditionally.
Yeah, traditionally, yeah. First part of the year, Easter. Ish. I think the monks brewed it for Lent.
Yes. Yes, to like get them through Lent, right?
Yeah, for nutrition-wise.
Yeah, they would give up food, just like that guy last year, I think, did it. Gave up, just lived on beer for 40 days.
Yeah, I think there's someone every year that tries that somewhere.
You think you'd be able to do it for 40 days?
No.
It would be tough.
I'd do it for 80.
it would be tough. I mean, the first time I smelled a steak or something, I'd just be like, all right, sorry. Okay, calling it quits.
Have you ever tried one of those juice cleanses?
No.
I actually did one of those for 5 days one time.
Mm-hmm.
And eating after that felt so weird.
Really?
Actually chewing something.
Mm.
It's strange.
How did you feel after the cleanse?
No, I felt great.
What kind of juice?
It was all kinds of stuff. It was I'd have to go back and look, but I was making them at home. So it was like something for breakfast, a snack, a lunch, and dinner, like just juice.
Like
different vegetables and fruits.
Like kale?
Yeah, there was a lot of kale and, you know, cucumber and, you know, apple and all kinds of stuff. I pretty much bought a couple of everything off the produce, you know, section of the store.
Yeah. Has anybody ever done a kale beer?
You know, I don't think I can recall hearing about anyone doing one.
Yeah.
But I couldn't imagine someone wanting.
Yeah, the flavor of kale, it's somewhere between dirt and feet.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how kale became so, I don't know how it became so popular, because it's awful. Whoever's in charge of the marketing for kale.
Well, you know, the more the worse something tastes, the better it is for you.
I guess so. I don't know though. It's Even like the kale chips, like they make kale chips.
Yeah.
And those are only good if they're covered in pork rinds. Or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whoever's in charge of like Big Kale has a lot of money in their marketing department. So.
Exactly.
Good for them.
They're up there with bacon.
Yeah, you know, no, I would say that the bacon people, maybe first generation bacon, right? But first, second generation bacon. But bacon kind of speaks for itself. You know, it lives up to the hype.
It does.
Like even the worst bacon is still bacon.
True. And you can wrap it. You can wrap bacon around anything.
Yeah. Even kale. And it makes kale worth eating, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What if you wrapped kale around bacon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would that have the same?
Yeah. It'd be, it's like bale or kalkin. I mean, just whatever, you know, bacon flavored kale. It would make it tolerable. So I think the marketing department for bacon, they just go into work, clock in, sit down, put their feet up and be like, all right, bacon.
Bacon. Yep.
And then they're done. It's like, have you tried bacon? And then people are like, yeah. It's like, do that again. And so, then, you know, sales skyrocket.
Next time I buy bacon bits.
Yeah. It's like, you can make it smaller. You can make it bigger. You can wrap it around things. Yeah. But people kind of figure that out for themselves. Bacon. Yeah. I think the bacon marketing team probably, if they got fired, like hopefully they don't get laid off in all of this because they've been resting on their laurels for so long, the bacon laurels. If they had to go work for cauliflower.
Cauliflower's not doing too bad right now either.
True, the rice and everything, but they have to work at it, right? You had to take somehow.
They found their moment and they got in.
Yeah, I think maybe Brussels sprouts too. Brussels sprouts were, they were hurting. Like early, like my childhood were, you know, boiled or steamed or whatever, for whatever reason, that's the way people did Brussels sprouts. But then somebody said, add bacon or deep fry them or something like that. And then everybody was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of on the same trajectory as, asparagus.
Yes. Yes. Add bacon, add some garlic, add some, you know, roast it up and it's not so bad. It's actually pretty good. So,
And it goes well with steak.
Yes. Yes, it does. And it, even if you deep fry it, it's like, it's still Brussels sprouts. Those are healthy. You can lie to yourself. So it's like, so they did pretty good. That's the marketing team you want to go study. But if the bacon people, you know, and they can't use bacon anymore, like they're no longer affiliated with bacon. I don't know that I would trust them to pull a vegetable or something out of the doldrums.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to squash and, you know, getting that same market share.
No. Like, what's a vegetable that's really in need of a good push? Like, radishes, maybe?
Yeah, radishes. Yeah, I could see that. You know who, what is probably hurt from the technology and stuff now?
What's that?
Eggplant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, eggplant, they did well in Italy. You know, there's eggplant parmesan.
But I think the emoji is killing the eggplant.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole nother. Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, that's absolutely true. That's a whole nother thing.
Feel kind of dirty picking one up in the door.
Yeah. It's like, are there any different, they need to like get them rounder or something.
Yeah. Change the shape.
Yes. They've got to go with something else. Like,
but you know who else is benefiting from the emojis?
Who's that?
Peaches.
That's true. That's true. Peaches weren't hurting, but yeah, they're probably rocking now.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, let's see, who else is probably hurting right now? Cauliflower, you know, they're having their day. Radishes are neat. Maybe jicama. When's the last time you heard of jicama?
You know what? I've seen that a lot lately.
Okay.
I think that's becoming a diet thing, you know?
Okay, yeah. It has a fun name to say. Yams,
beets.
Even Dr. Dre couldn't bring beets, you know, couldn't come alongside actual beets. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He's like, I'm just going to have to stick with the audio, bro. And it's like, or however Dr. Dre says that. Yeah, that's, I think Beats missed. That was probably their, they should have jumped on that.
Someone forgot about Beats.
They did. They should have had NBA players wearing those on their ears when they were walking in. I mean,
I've seen some brewers use Beats in beers.
Oh, if you're needing color, like there's some Beats that have deep.
It also
purple.
Has that nice, like grassy flavor to it.
Yeah, roasted Beets are not so bad. Like, there's a little sugar. There's beet sugar is a thing, right? There's sugars inside a beet, so you roast it. Yeah, and you freak people out when you forget that you ate beets the day before, and then you go to the bathroom and you're like, "Oh my god, I'm dying."
got the Rona.
I know. I gotta go see the doctor ASAP because something is wrong, and I can't quite put my finger on it. But he's gonna need to put his fingers in it to figure it out. Because that's, and then you remember you ate beets, and you're like, "Okay, I'm not dying." So
true.
not that I'm speaking from experience, but I'm speaking from experience. It freaks you out a little bit when you forget. Turnip greens. I feel like turnip greens have kind of a steady following in the South, but turnips themselves.
I mean, they're going to get turned up, right?
Yeah. Somebody needs to turn up the turnip. They don't have the same sugar content as a beet.
No.
And are even a fat beet. Like those are the best beets or fat beets. And
I think we're about to beat this.
Yeah, but you can't beat it. So you might as well join it.
Exactly.
but turnips, poor turnips, you know, how do you market turnips? Like the bacon guys, you wouldn't want them to try to come in and save turnips.
You know what though? Bacon in turnips. That's the problem. Bacon goes with everything.
Right. Yeah, if you could utilize bacon, sure. But if you were just trying to let turnips get their own moment in the sun, you know, because then that's difficult because it's a root vegetable.
True.
So, you know, if you're trying to give them their moment in the sun, you don't want to have to look to the bacon guys who haven't had to work. I'm just saying that you want the kale people.
Oh, you know what? We missed one beer.
What?
Our fourth anniversary, our Belgian quad.
Ooh.
That's on tap. It's 10% Belgian quad.
Yeah.
Really nice. The lovely Belgian beer.
There you go. Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
when is the official anniversary? What's the date?
Oh, it happened.
Yeah.
It happened. Man, it feels like forever ago now.
Yeah.
But back in March.
Yeah.
First week of March.
Okay. We mentioned it the last time y'all were on. That's the cool thing about anniversary beers is like a quad, you could put that away and have your fourth anniversary beer around for a very long time.
You know, we plan on that. We also, our anniversary two, mm-hmm. we did a Russian, there was a Russian Imperial Stout, and we still have some kegs of that squirreled in the back. So we pulled out a couple for the anniversary weekend.
What do you think is the upper limit on, say, like a quad or a Russian Imperial Stout? I know people have like to hang on to like series of beers, especially something like a Divine Reserve or something like that. But what's the upper point typically where it peaks and then it starts to fall off?
I mean, it really depends on how well the beer is brewed and the way you store it.
Okay, so start with the brewing. What needs to happen?
I mean, you want to make sure everything, you get a clean beer. I mean, any kind of like a little bit of bacteria in that, like, you know, short term, no big deal. Long term, if it's stored at a, you know, room temperature or higher, then you're going to have a sour beer after a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a well-brewed 12 to 14%, you know, beer, it should last, you know, 5-10 years.
Okay. So 10 years, but after 10, it starts to fall off. I guess carbonation becomes a thing too.
Yeah. I mean, depending on the package. Yeah. I mean, with cans now, there shouldn't be any reason that the carbonation should go down.
I wonder what cans have been around for a while, but as far as beers worth aging in cans, that hasn't been too long. I wonder what the longest canned beer, you know, that is still drink, like, I wonder if there, I don't think we've had enough time to really test that out. Like an optimally stored canned beer of a 10 plus ABV.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, all the canned beer back in the day was all light lagers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I wonder. And I wonder if, like, they used to have steel cans, right? So I wonder steel versus aluminum. I wonder if there's any difference.
I would imagine. Yeah.
I don't know.
And then, I mean, the cans have, like, a liner in them. So now versus, you know, then.
Yeah.
Too.
So. True. What is the liner made of?
You know what? I'm not sure.
You'll notice that, like, if you're ever sitting around a fire pit or something, you throw a can in there. You see it. It's like, oh, that puts off that smell. That's probably something I shouldn't be breathing in right now.
I would imagine it's probably BPA free.
Yeah, but just the heat and the
the
melting of whatever. I don't know what that is, but it's like, it's, you know, whatever. But okay. So I just wonder. I wonder if anybody's running any tests, if that's started. Somebody put some away.
I mean, I would imagine, like, Oscar Blues was what the first craft, the can.
Yeah.
I would imagine they make some really decent, big stouts. So I would imagine they've probably look to them for the answer.
That might be something. I might have to hit them up on Twitter, you know, all this time. I wonder what the first big beer, cause you know, weren't their first beers. It was, what's the one, the Dale's Pale Ale.
Yeah, there's Dale's, yeah.
And then the Mama's Little Yell Pills or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't, Old Chub was the, was that the old?
Scotch Ale.
What's the AB? Because that one's a lot of the time, that's on Nitro too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Definitely something to look at. I wonder how much, because you have to put away enough cans to be able to test them periodically.
True.
So I wonder if they thought about that.
I mean, most breweries, they sit stock back to see how they're aging, and we do that as well.
Yeah, but so
their QA or QC department, they've probably got the answer, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look into that. I wonder. Now I'm curious. Now I got a thing to. That's the thing with beer. There's always something new to be curious about.
True.
I mean, okay, so you know way more than I do about beer. But yet I'm assuming there's things like right now you're talking about when you talk about playing around with different ingredients and things like that, you're learning new stuff every day.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah, just like the new yeast strain we're starting to use.
Are you talking about Quebec or is there something?
Yes. The Quebec. Yeah. We're playing around with that now.
So now Quebec, is there multiple types of Quebec yeast? Cause I see a lot, or is it just the fact that this Quebec yeast is so versatile?
There's different strains of it.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, they came from different places.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, they're pretty much the same as in their fermentation temperatures. Some give off a different ester than the others.
Mm-hmm.
The one we have gives off like a hint of orange peel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's incredible. It's like fermenting a beer in the 90s, and it's a little strange.
Like they're just constantly listening to like Nirvana and Ace of Base?
Exactly.
And wearing Doc Martens?
Yep.
Yep. That's how you do it. Let them watch some Full House or Family Matters. Maybe some Monday Night Raw.
Attitude Era, of course.
Yes. So that's how you ferment in the 90s. Well, you mean temperature.
Wrap the fermenter in JNCOs.
Maybe some salt and pepper. I don't know.
You're starting to push it.
Yeah, that's true. But let's talk about it. You know.
No, it's. I've tried this yeast out. We like it. We're doing some smaller batches with it. And it seems to do well across the board with different styles. It's kind of exciting to try new stuff, you know, new ingredients.
Yeah, it does. It's a if you ferment in the 90s, it's okay. So what's the upper temperature? Like what's?
I think the fermentation like temperature is it gave a suggestion of 85 degrees to 104.
104.
Yes, 104. Actually, I did have one fermentation. I hit 101.
That's crazy.
And I was like, wow, is this going to break my fermenter? And whenever you taste, actually pull a sample from the fermenter and taste it, it's warm.
Yeah.
And it's very weird.
Yeah. I mean, so, okay. So are you having to warm up your fermenter to reach those temperatures?
No, I'm knocking out hot and pitching, and the energy just from the fermentation is either keeping the temperature at the same or it's causing it to go up.
How long does it keep it at that temperature?
That yeast is done fermenting anywhere from like 24 to 48 hours.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like you can turn a batch in less than a week.
That is crazy. I don't get, I've heard you talk about the Quebec yeast and I'm like, that's cool. The higher temperature, but I've never 24 to 48 hours. That is bananas.
It's not bananas because it actually ferments very clean.
104.
Yeah. I don't know. That's very hot.
Yeah, it is. That's like Houston summer, no AC hot.
And you know, the first thing that tips you off that the fermentation's finished is when the temperature starts to go back down.
It crashes itself.
I mean, to an extent. I mean, whenever that yeast gets done, it starts to fall out. The temperatures on the fermenters come down. So you're like, oh, it's down, 5-10 degrees. That must be done.
That's wild. How does it – so, okay, how does it affect things like I don't know, like does dry hopping at a higher temperature or anything like that, does that have an effect?
You know, I've done some research on it, but I just did a beer where I dry hopped during fermentation, and so I've yet to see.
Like, I guess it wouldn't add to bitterness because isomerization. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That
fermentation.
Yes, that I guess that happens at a quite higher temperature, at boil temperatures. That's you're off that by 100 or more degrees.
Yeah, something like 80 or whatever.
Yeah, but it would, I don't know, would it extract more aroma or more flavor or something along those lines? I don't know.
Yeah, that's something we're playing with, and we'll find out shortly.
Yeah, like what if there's the perfect Quebec yeast hop variety combo that, you experiment with all the hops until you find it.
Exactly. That's the beauty of beer.
It's really amazing. It blows my mind. Like when I really start to sit here and contemplate, it's why I love beer. It's one of the reasons I love beer so much, but it really is. It's like a bottomless, just, I don't know.
As long as there's new ingredients, there's things to play around with.
Yes. But I mean, I don't know. Just to let that the Quebec, I gotta, does anybody have a book on Quebec? Is it something?
You can find, there's the guy that kind of, brought those strains to the public.
Uh-huh.
He was like a home brewer and like a computer programmer or something. He went around and collected different strains from different farmhouse breweries,
mm-hmm.
and then had them isolated. And he's done some talks, and he might have written a book on it. I'm not sure, or at least like a thesis or something. He has information. I don't know. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head.
Okay. Something for people to go research. We got plenty of time. Man, that's fascinating. All right. You've given me a new thing to be curious about. It's just, thank you, Caleb. That's great. That's another little, put that on my list of things to dig into. Speaking of digging, you and I both dig pro wrestling, and we're not ashamed to say that.
No, we're not.
How was WrestleMania?
You know, I enjoyed it. It was different. And the cinematic, the matches, those were my favorite. The John Cena and Fiend match, that was out there.
I'm going to have to see. I saw clips from that. I'm glad that they're taking a different approach. This is, so one of the benefits to being where we are, you know, we all find ourselves in this situation where arenas full of 30,000 people are not a thing that we can do right now. And like, you look at like the UFC, Dana White's about to do
30,000. This was WrestleMania. It would have been, I think, 70.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Even like you look, that's the one thing that I noticed right off the bat. Like they did the replays of a lot of the WrestleManias on ESPN lately.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've caught them.
Yeah, and you see those crowds like WrestleMania 30, which I think was at the Superdome.
Yeah.
And it's just people piled on top of people, and it's just.
Well, I went to the WrestleMania 4 years ago when it was in Dallas, mm-hmm. and there was over 100,000 people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's crazy when you look at that on TV, like especially. Like just it's just this mass of humanity, and it's, you know, something we just kind of did and took for granted. And now that you can't, you look at it, and it's not like it's been that long. And what are we on day 20, whatever? I don't even know how many.
Yeah,
it hadn't even been a month yet, but yet you look at it and it's like you can't. Like today, I went to pick up stuff for my girl's school, and I stayed in the car, and the cars went through the line. You got out, and the teachers all. You know, walked away from the table and you came and picked up the packet and then you got back in your car and drove away and they let the next person come up. And then you watch WrestleMania 30 where it's, you know, 80,000 people or whatever it is. And everybody's just going crazy and jumping around. And
there's a butt every 18 inches.
Yes. Some of those butts more than 18 inches, but they're sticking it in an 18 inch area for sure.
Yeah.
It's, but
you know, I wonder after all this, if people will, you know, kind of have post-traumatic, you know, stress about actually being in large crowds.
I think it's going to take a while. I honestly do. I think restaurants will be the first place you'll see a little bit like that'll be the more subtle hit. Where table spacing will have to get spaced out so they won't be able to fit as many people into the dining room and get work people as, you know, through. And so maybe like eating out prices will go up a little bit to accommodate that sort of thing. But I think, yeah, like a mass gathering like that on that scale, I don't think those are going to be regular things, at least until there's some sort of vaccine or something. I think that scale, it's just going to take people a while. I don't know. There's some people that would do it right now, I think. I know some people that still aren't taking this thing as seriously as they should, but, I don't know. I think if this thing goes on for much longer, for sure, I think it just gets kind of, I don't know, baked into your brain, like the wrinkles in your brain change, you know? And so, I think there will be an effect. I think places like tap rooms will be different because by nature, people can get up and wander around, walk outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's an inherent, like built-in advantage there. But like, see, that's the thing is like times like these kind of lift up some aspects and tamp down others. So like with wrestling, when you watch that on TV, the first couple of, like they're doing their normal shows for WWE. And if y'all, you know, if y'all don't like the wrestling talk, fast forward for the next 45 minutes until Kayla and I are done. But as far as somebody who watches, you know, things on TV like UFC, they're going to do their, it's 249, I think, or the one, it was supposed to be Khabib and, Ferguson.
Yeah.
But they've had to change it because Khabib's locked down in Russia. And so it's going to be,
you know what? Did you read the news about UFC this morning?
About the island?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. Dana White, who may be, he may be a Bond villain, but he's a good enough person to where it was like, Had it gone wrong at some point, you know, if he had taken a left where he should have taken a right, he would be a Bond villain.
Yep.
He has the look, but he took the right and went into the boxing gym and became this promoter. And anyway, they have a secret island, a private island, and all their private airplanes, and they're going to be able to do this event. And maybe more ahead, you know, if you isolate people for long enough, the fighters have their camps on the island or right off the island and then bring them in or something. I don't know. Perhaps you could continue to do fights.
They're training on yachts.
Yes. Like, well, the cruise ships aren't being used for anything else. So why not just park them out there, make sure they spray them down with Lysol or something. But
the boxing match that just happened, the big, the Gypsy King.
Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, they actually, I was listening to an interview with Tyson Fury, and he said that, like, some sheik from the Saudi Arabia or something, like, wanted to pay to have that boxing match on his private yacht.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, there is, you know, I think that's weird stuff's going to start happening like that, I think.
Yeah. The only thing I worry about, one, obviously, if anybody contracts the virus ahead of time or if they can trace it to the event, you know, like once it's on the island, it's on the island, right? It's like the Galapagos and the, and the pigs or whatever it was they had, the rats or the thing. But, and then the other side of that is, okay, they're flying out to this island. Now you're under the, you know, you have to worry about weather and if you can fly in, and what if there's a like hurricane? I don't know where this island is at, but there's, you know, hurricane season is coming up. So,
yeah,
I don't know. But, anyway, but back to the wrestling thing. So, but it changes all these things. So like those fights, the fights, like the actual fights in an arena that nobody else is in, we've seen that on The Ultimate Fighter and things like that. So it's not completely foreign.
Yeah, true.
But the wrestling side, the wrestlers like play to the live crowd so much.
Oh, I know.
More so now than ever, I think.
I think Daniel Bryan during WrestleMania tried to start a yes chant.
Yeah. It's like, wait, huh? It's like, come on, man. And it's going to take, I think, like AEW, which is the other league that is on TNT. Yeah. I've seen some of their stuff, and they got Matt Hardy, which is probably a thing that you need, somebody crazy like that, that does, you know, more viral, like, you know, YouTube type stuff.
Yeah.
And it's that, like, his old gimmick and shtick is based on performance art that
it's
doesn't.
It's like cinematic type, you know, matches instead of, you know, normal wrestling matches.
Yeah. They've got to do, like, they got to go back. Speaking of, fermenting in the 90s, they need to go back and watch some wrestling in the 90s, because some of the backstage, you know, street fights and things like that, like they need to go in that direction if they're going to tell the stories.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can really see where the art that people put out, like, you know, YouTubers, people like Joe Rogan, he's clicking along. No big deal. Even though he still has guests in his studio, I don't know how if that'll continue on.
Well, I think it's just his close friends that he's having in the studio.
Yeah, but even close friends get sick. That's the problem.
Yeah, true.
And so it's like,
well, I guess if someone gets him sick, they're not going to be a close friend anymore.
But that's, you know, it's like this interview we're doing. You know, we can do this all day long. You know, you're down in Pearland, I'm up in Cyprus, and anybody can listen in the world once I publish this thing later today. And, that's, you know, that there's an inherent advantage to this. So I can just click, like I'm doing another interview tomorrow. I've got, next episode of Interbrews, Jeffrey Steffings from, Jester King, catch up with what's going on up there in Austin. But, you know, so, and we're going to do a liquid lunch later today. So if you're looking for somebody to, you know, to be dumb on screen, myself and Kennedy, that's a promotion. If, when we're live, jump on, and it's like, everybody jumping on, just kind of talking and hanging out. But you know, that we're able to do that because, you know, it's all streaming or whatever, but people that are typically in front of an audience, like the late night hosts and, wrestlers and things like that, they need to tweak. They're starting to tweak a little bit, but it was really awkward at first.
It is. It's becoming, you know, it's becoming more normal.
Yeah, and you have to tailor the presentation a bit.
Yeah.
And so if they're truly creative, they can figure it out. But I think we'll see some of these that aren't that creative flail a bit.
Well, I think we saw WWE kind of copy what AEW was doing, too.
Yes.
And where they turn the camera angle, like, and not show the empty crowd.
Yes, you got to do some of that. You might maybe even take some of those seats out and do some different staging and things like that.
I think actually that's what they've done since. They've taken the seats out. Why have seats?
Yeah, it doesn't make it, just kind of amplifies what it is. And so
I do love the fact that WWE has that one fan there. it's a large fan.
Yeah.
It's very big. He's the biggest fan there.
Is it like one of those big ass fans?
Yes, exactly. It's kind of taken on a life of its own on Twitter.
Yeah. The number one fan.
Yes.
Does he have his own? Does the fan have its own Twitter account?
You know, I'm not sure.
He needs it. Or the fan. I can't. I don't want to misgender the fan.
Have you seen the merchandise for the WrestleMania this year?
Uh-uh.
Says WrestleMania, I wasn't there.
See, that's the kind of stuff we need. Because this, you know, hopefully this is the only one that's like that. And, you know. Hopefully,
yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So it could be, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, people are looking back. Yeah, that was, and that's what we're talking about. Like people here talk about when the Rock and Steve Austin fought at the Astrodome.
Yeah, or when Mae Young, you know, gave birth to a hand.
Yes. All of those things. Those classic moments that we're going to tell our grandkids about.
Exactly.
Well, anyway. All right. Well, I don't want to keep you away from, you know, your brewing duties and serving the good people that are coming by Backfish to get delicious beers. Are you brewing anything? What's the next thing you're brewing? You got anything on the docket?
I'm going to get a couple kettle sours in the tanks.
Yes.
But really just actually it's given me some time to experiment with, we haven't done a whole lot of hazies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to give me a chance. I've got, just got a hop order the other day. We're going to play around with some new hops and, see what comes out of it. That's cool.
I was going to ask, I just got distracted cause there was another call. This I got to figure out how this FaceTime Apple stuff works because I get the same calls that she gets. So my daughter's gymnastics coach was about to get added to the show. I don't think she knows anything about beer.
Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah. The other day
I was so lazy, or not lazy, but I was so bored at home. I got an accidental text from a wrong number.
Uh-huh.
And I told them the wrong number, but I started chatting with them anyways.
And they chatted back.
It was fun.
What did y'all talk about?
Oh, it was someone that was just sorry they couldn't come see Tim or who. Well, I think that was the name, Tim. And they were stuck in Waco and this and that. I was like, oh, so you know Waco? Oh, no, I've never lived here. I'm stuck here with some friends. Can't really travel. So I started, I lived in Waco for a few years. So I started telling them some of the restaurants and bars around there they should check out.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And they got a couple new breweries too. And I think a distillery. I don't know if they're online yet, but
yeah.
So, you know, Waco, not quite as Waco as it used to be.
No.
I was going to ask you, you know, if you're talking about doing some of these hazies and stuff, have y'all had any issues with supply chain, any ingredients getting to you?
No, I don't think so. No, nothing I could think of. I mean, hops, grain, everything has been fine. We did have an issue early on. Whenever this all started, we were like pretty low on crowler cans.
Mm-hmm.
And that took over a week to get because apparently every brewery was low on crowler cans.
Yeah.
And there was a run on them. So there was there still might be a shortage.
Yeah.
Like
you order a 32 ounce crowlers and you end up getting just the 16 ounce crowlers because they're short.
No. You get none. Oh. Zero. Yeah. 0 ounce.
I just thought maybe they cut them off at like halfway because they were short.
And then there's also been a run on growlers as well. I mean, everybody, every brewery, every, you know, all what, over 7,000 breweries now?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, everyone's switching to go. And so all those to go containers, you know, people got to buy those.
Yeah. They got to ramp up production. And I'm going to imagine aluminum, glass, that sort of thing, probably coming in from out of the country.
Yeah, more than likely. Yeah. I think our cans come out of Canada.
Yeah. So they got to thaw out everything and then wipe off the maple syrup and then send it to you. So
hey.
Anyway. All right. Well, let me know as new beers come out. And
if you'll follow us on Facebook, Instagram, we make daily posts. We update our to-go list on there. Everything's got pricing on it, so you're not gonna get, you know, you'll know what's going on, and just check our Facebook and Instagram daily.
Okay. Well, if you have the time, if you know whatever's going on in a few weeks, I'd love to have you back on. Maybe
when we could actually see each other.
Well, of course, absolutely. I'm gonna be doing a lot of that once this thing is done. I don't know. There may be a few weeks where I don't record anything because I'm just going around just hanging out and hugging people.
Yeah, I miss staring into your eyes.
Yes, I. There's a time coming where I've been working my arms a lot to get ready for the hugs. And surprisingly, a lot of back. You need more back and shoulder. Don't just go all arms.
Oh, okay.
Back and shoulder.
Back into it.
Yeah, when you're ready for hugs. Yeah, especially, and then abs too, if you go with the hug and the lift. That's the.
Oh, oof. That's something I think I'm going to have to work on.
Yeah. Yeah, we all do. We all need to. We're, you know, so.
The gym's not open, you know.
Just grab those bags of grain, the big ones, and just hug, maybe two at a time, hugs, you know, yeah. Squeeze, lift.
Instead of working on my body, I'm working on my personality.
Yeah. Listen, you have a six pack of personality, six pack abs of personality for sure. So, all right. Well, we'll let you get back to brewing and other brewery work. So, tell the crew that I said, hey, and, you know, we'll talk again down the road.
Sounds good, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Caleb Wilson, Backfish Brewing in Pearland, beer to go, list available on social media. You know, they do an excellent job with posting everything and keeping you abreast of the situation of beer available. New stuff coming out all the time. So check it out. Caleb, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. More episodes to come, and thank you for listening to this one. Don't forget that Patreon page. If you have the shekels to spare and want to help keep this afloat, appreciate that. And if not, everybody just take care. So for Caleb Wilson, Backfish Brewing, I'm Josh Stewart. This is Interbrews.
This is Interbrews.
Cool, man.
Cool. I don't know why that the other thing didn't play. I'm gonna have to redo that. That's weird.
The preceding has been a presentation of Stewed Productions.
Just leave it in.
I am, of course.